Welcome to IN, a podcast series dedicated to contemporary visual art practices. IN is brought to you by New Local Space, a contemporary art initiative in Kingston, Jamaica, also presenting art residencies, curatorial fellowships, and exhibitions.
This is episode 43 of IN, the sixth in a series of recordings of the convening of artists and curators that took place in Kingston on Saturday, May 27, 2023.
We're welcoming Camille Cheddar, our final presenter. Philip mentioned a little bit about collaborative project that he has undertaken with Camille and other artists in Kingston. And Camille is involved with that as well as her own other initiatives with Impulse. Camille Cheddar was born in Manchester, Jamaica, and lives and works in Kingston, Jamaica. She graduated from the Edna Manley College with an honors diploma in painting and received an MFA in painting from the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth. Her works have been featured in exhibitions at the National Gallery of Jamaica, NLS, the Olympia Gallery, and the Museum of Latin American Art. She's the recipient of awards including the Albert Huey Award, the Reed Foundation Scholarship, the inaugural Don Scott Memorial Award, the British Council's TARE Program Award, the Catapult Shar Grant, and the inaugural Jamaica Art Society's In Focus Fellowship. She has been an artist in residence at Alice Yard in Trinidad, Art Omi in New York. Is it Art Omi? Art Omi in New York, and Hospital Field in Scotland, and has completed the Catapult Stay Home Artist Residency and the Homo Sargassum Art Residency. She recently participated in Document of 15 in Kassel, Germany. Cheddar is the project manager of the Ruby Messenon Impulse Art Project and lectures at the Edna Manley College of the Visual and Performing Arts. Thank you, Camille, for being here.
Thank you, Deborah, for inviting me, and thank you, everybody, for being here. So I won't necessarily go through every single slide because there's a lot of them, but I will start by talking about a personal experience I've had that really can help to explain why I think Impulse Art Project is such an important initiative locally, and also about my practice. So when I was in high school, and Impulse had kind of started focusing on high school students. But when I was in high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure what I was going to be when I grew up. But then my mother was like, Camille, we should visit the Edna Manley College. It's an art school. You draw all the time. So I said, oh, really? I can study art? Had no idea. All right. So I came from I'm like one of the luckiest people ever because my family was very supportive of me becoming an artist. So we came to Kingston, went to Edna Manley, found out what I needed to do. You need a portfolio, you need to do this exam, and you need to do the application forms. I said, okay, great. However, I was not from Kingston. I don't live in Kingston. Well, I live in Kingston now, but I was from St. Elizabeth, which at the time was a 3.5-hour drive. It's a little bit shorter now with the highway. And I decided that it was going to be important for me to get into Edna Manley College by doing their portfolio preparation class. How is that going to be possible if I'm living in St. Elizabeth? But everything kind of worked out that my mother was able to carry me every Thursday. I would leave high school every Thursday. She would drive me into Kingston, and I would do this portfolio class at 5 o'clock, 5 to 9, with Stanford Watson. And that kind of gave me a lot of exposure to things I had never done before, because in St. Elizabeth, there's not much art happening. As O'Neill would have mentioned, it's very similar to Montego Bay. Anything outside of Kingston is kind of like, you won't find a lot of art happening. So I think with my experience of coming to Kingston and doing these classes, it really made me realize how important it is to have a program like Impulse that now is kind of providing workshops for students to do all these classes in painting and other fine art practices for free. So I got into Edna Manley, and this was one of the works that I did in my final year. it was a video where I was putting plastic bags over my head. And my practice has been one that is very exploratory of material. So working with everyday materials like the scandal bag, which is what we call our plastic bags. So my explorations have been through painting, through, you know, video, through installation. This is a piece called Built in Obsolescence, where I was painting myself onto sandwich bags. The paintings would eventually crumble. And a lot of the work that I do, it kind of stems from the question of who I am in Jamaica. And you mentioned this kind of pride that you have when you hear people say, oh, I love your country. And I think Jamaica is very similar in that we love to celebrate Jamaica or Jamaican-ness. And I always had the question in mind, what does it mean to be Jamaican and how do you fit into a mold of Jamaican-ness? And I kind of felt like I wasn't sure how exactly I fit based on things that people would say. Oh, you're Jamaican? You don't look Jamaican. What does that mean? I continued to paint on plastic bags. The idea of them crumbling became really significant, that they, you know, there is this idea of building something, putting so much effort into it, and it kind of falling apart or taking on a new form. And in continuing to paint myself on the plastic bags, in 2014, I started collecting this other bag that it was white and it had this writing on it that said this bag is 100% degradable. Still continued painting myself on it, but then just started, you know, incorporating images of people from the newspaper. And one thing that was happening a lot in 2014 was the extrajudicial killing of people in Jamaica and in the US. And of course, that wasn't something that was new, but it seemed very prominent in 2014. And I think that was partly the proliferation of violent videos that you'd see coming up on YouTube or on Facebook of killings. So I started to paint these individuals on the bags and continued the work as well in this other form. This is a piece called Sketch for Exchange Value, and it was exhibited right in that room here at NLS in 2016 in an exhibition called Insights. I was drawing the same portraits but with marker on plastic bags that had just been closed, and you know, they're inflated by just closing them, but eventually the air would start to run out and they would lose their form, and the only way to kind of revive them is to put air in them again. And after that, I wanted to do something that was a little bit more permanent, so I kind of started to switch to working with cement and concrete blocks. And this is a work called Rebuild that I did in Haiti in the Ghetto Biennale 2015. And the thing that kind of dawned on me when I was there in Haiti is the fragility of these structural materials. The cement is so fragile because everywhere you look, there is rubble from the 2010 earthquake still around. But I essentially had filled these plastic bags with cement and embedded things that I found around Port-au-Prince and tried to preserve them. And in some ways, they end up being buried in this pile of cement bags. And then upon returning to Jamaica, after the Ghetto Biennale, started realizing that there are these videos that kept popping up of women who are using the cement block to beat themselves in a kind of performative entertainment and hashtag female empowerment move. But it was so viral. There were so many of them. And the intention was to break the block, but also to suggest a kind of sexual prowess and dominance over the block, which in that case would represent men or any kind of thing that they would want to damage. But the reality is that they were damaging themselves. So I did these series of drawings where the bodies were kind of broken. Arms of the bodies are quite similar to the cement bags of the previous work that you just saw. And then continued to develop that idea based on a trip to Scotland on a residency, where I started to find these red clay bricks that had the manufacturer's name imprinted on them. So two bricks that were really significant were the Glenboig bricks, which Those ricks were used to make the Sunbury Plantation in Barbados, and Forth and Thistle bricks were used to make plantations, the Appleton Estate here in Jamaica, Forth and Thistle. So I was just thinking about the relationship between people and these colonial structures and just representing these figures in a kind of embrace of the bricks. Again, similar exploration, but with a focus on elements of popular cultural output. There are some small images of women with the cement block. There are images of women doing dances, sucking on bottles, all kinds of different things that were happening, but also that was juxtaposed with children. There were some music videos that had children, girls in particular, dancing very inappropriately. And these are very popular music videos in Jamaica. So I was just trying to compile, you know, create this wall of these things that happen just to show people that it happens, because I think some people were in denial about it and said, oh, these are kind of fringe things that happen in Jamaica. They don't really happen, but I was trying to create a word that would literally just show the fact that it happens. And then I think I'm more or less in this place right now where I'm working with the cement blocks to create these installations that feature prints, images, and video. And they're kind of looking at, in particular, a former plantation estate called Rose Hall that used to be sugar plantations, but they've been transformed into golf courses. So I'm just kind of looking at the relationship between how our landscape is changing. Then to speak a little bit more now about impulse, you can go to the next slide. So Impulse Art Project is something that I've been working with since 2015. It started at the Dunoon Technical High School, which this is an image of, that it was an art room. So Rubis Mecenat, in partnership with Rubis Energy Jamaica, created the Impulse Art Project. Rubis Mecenat is the foundation for the Rubis Group, which is a global distribution company. But in the Caribbean, as you saw in the previous slide, you'll see a lot of gas stations that are called Rubis. So Rubis Mecenat, they have three long-term art programs. One is Of Soul and Joy, and it's a photography program in South Africa. They created it in 2012. Then you have Let's Innovate, which is a social design project in Madagascar that was created in 2018. And then you have Impulse, which is focused primarily on fine art practices, and we started in 2015. And it's a long-term program, as I said. It's really here to encourage professional artistic output from our students. And the students, as I said, we would have started at Dunoon Technical High School. A lot of the students were in high school, but now most have grown up. Sheldon was a part of the program, or is a part of the program, I should say. And Jordan Harrison is also a part of the program. The structure of the program is that we offer weekly workshops that will happen essentially during the school year for 12 to 15 weeks. So it's, as I said, it's kind of like an after-school program. So we have the classes Wednesdays and Thursdays, 3 to 6, and then Saturdays, 10 to 1. So it's weekly classes for 3 hours. And the workshops are led by professional artists like Philip Onika. And currently we've started doing curatorial workshops with Winnie Barnett Davidson, who is from the National Gallery. The program also, apart from the workshops, we do trips to exhibitions. That's from one of Philip's classes. And we offer opportunities for students to study at the Edamame College. So to date, we've had 8 students receive scholarships, full scholarships to do their BFA. We've had trips to participate in Documenta, trips to do the Ghetto Biennale. Onika mentioned that she had the transformation exhibition that was put on by Tide Rising, and one of the Impulse students was able to assist in installing the exhibition. Film assistant, internships, you know. So really, Impulse Art Project is here to provide professional assistance, art studio workshops, and just to be like my mother when I was trying to figure out my life outside of Kingston to say, hey, this is possible. Here's how you can do it. And then the students build a relationship with all of us who are artists and even curators, and everyone is kind of looked after. So that's essentially what Impulse is about. Thank you.
Thank you, Camille. Any questions for Camille?
Hello, I guess it's more of just a comment than a question, but just going through the work, and I mean, I followed your work, you know, since I've known about your work, but just seeing the transition, I guess, from the use of plastic bags and then pliable plastic and, you know, soft materials, and then I guess there's kind of, I'm just noticing how poignant it is, that kind of shift between these inflatable, you know, soft, easily, and then there's still the element of degradability in both. But again, it's one is really soft, and then the juxtaposition of how you were treating those softer materials, although it was still other people, but you were depicting yourself with a lot of soft, again, ephemeral and materials like that. And then you've talked about trying to cement your place in the culture and kind of looking at the cement and stone and stuff like that, the harder, more abrasive way in which, I guess, the culture, the depiction of the culture versus the depiction of self. And then, I don't know, I'm not even saying there's even any obvious differentiation in that, but I'm just noticing that, and it's just a really poignant, that kind of shift from it, from the softness to the hardness. So it's almost like a kind of mental shift as well, or I guess that is a way in which you could see it, I suppose. So I just wanted to comment on that part.
When I shifted to, I mean, I'm still working with plastic as well, but when I did make the decision to work with the cement, yeah, it was to be kind of oppositional to the things that I was already doing, because I wanted to make something last, because everything I was making was falling apart. But then I started working with the cement and felt like it still had potential to fall apart too. So it's still with, even though they're completely, you know, you said talk about the softness or the fragility, they're both still fragile.
Blessings, I love your work, and I don't know if I had missed this, but what inspired you to work with plastics?
Yeah, I initially started working with plastic bags because when I was a student, I just had a whole bunch of them stored up, and I think everybody probably used to do this, where you just put you have your plastic bag drawer or something reusable. So I just had them, and I think there was something about it being, you know, the black bags were able to hide something that I was doing in a collage. So I was also thinking about veiling identities and things like that. So that's why I even started to do the videos where I was putting the bags over my head. And then as I kept working with it, every single bag seemed to have a different meaning. So the black scandal bag had a particular meaning or use in Jamaica, like, there were these racial connotations about it, with Siaga calling PJ Patterson a black scandal bag one time, and stories about abortions being found in the black scandal bags, or body parts, or guns, you know. So there was this kind of cultural context that I thought was important. And also, even leaving Jamaica and not seeing any black plastic bags was kind of surprising to me, until I go to places like Brooklyn or the Bronx, and that's where you have a lot of Caribbean people as well. So it felt like the black scandal bag was such a Jamaican or Caribbean thing. And yeah, I just kept working with it that way.
Oh, quickly, I saw that in one of your works, you actually reveal the identity of some of the imagery, and some of them were actually concealed. So could you explain a little on that?
Not sure. Like, yeah, if you can show me. The wholesale degradables. Right, so for this, I guess I didn't really explain deeply, but all the people were killed by police extrajudicially. However, I had to do my research and find who these people were. I saw the names. There were lists of names, but I had to find obituaries. Facebook, Instagram wasn't popular at the time, but searching online to find an image of a person to represent was one part of the research. And then when I couldn't find someone for a particular image, I replaced them with someone else historically who would have experienced something similar. So figures that are on the outside of the bag are the actual people who are listed, but they're inside the bags are people like Paul Bogle, for example. Paul Bogle is one of Jamaica's national heroes. He started the Marat Bay Rebellion. This rebellion was one of the reasons why we have a Jamaica police force in the first place, because of the police force was created to kind of calm the rebellions from happening and to protect white interests. So I thought that he was important to put in there. So there are other figures who have a kind of similar connection to authority taking that person's life in a perhaps unjust way.
Good afternoon, Camille, and everyone here. Looking at the scandal bag, the black scandal bag, I understand it, you know, from the Jamaican context to be something used for privacy. You know, you don't know what's in my scandal bag because you can't see through it. Unlike the white scandal bag, no, there's more revelation taking place. Like the images that I'm seeing there, the faces are coming to life. You mentioned that you currently offer scholarships and so on. So what I'd love to know is, how do persons find you? How do persons access what it is that you're offering? So it's not a secret, like hidden in the black scandal bag. But for example, you said you're also from Manchester. I hail from St. Elizabeth, where right next door to the Appleton Estate. And I realized that there are not many opportunities for persons to really do anything much other than need their hand middles right now. If there are persons with the skills in art and so on, how can they find you? How can you find them to help them to come to the light, you know, come out of the clear scandal bag rather than being in the black one? How can you assist? Thank you.
Thank you for that. That's actually a great question, because as I said, being from St. Elizabeth myself, I've always dreamed of a program like Impulse existing, but unfortunately, Impulse is only in Kingston. So while Impulse is able to provide such a wonderful platform, it's really a question of maybe where are the other support systems for that? And I mean, yes, I would love to pitch this idea that, hey, Impulse needs to go parish wide, like across Jamaica. Let's do it. But you know, where are the other support systems too? I don't know. But I would love a program. I would love the program to extend, because I do feel like, yeah, other parishes are often left in the dark about how to get access to these resources.
Thanks. So Camille, I pick up in your work, I don't know if this is conscious or subconscious, but I pick up in it this whole meditation on like impermanence and construction, deconstruction, then constructing it back again. I mean, the choice of degradable plastic bags I find so interesting. And yet I heard you when you said you became a little concerned when everything you made started to fall apart. So I was kind of like a little confused. I was like, but what's wrong if it falls apart? You know what I mean? So where are your thoughts on that? And is it a deliberate meditation on impermanence in terms of the context of life, or is it just something that shines through? And congrats on that program, by the way, Impulse. I think it's great stuff.
I love the temporal. I love that these things fall apart, because, I mean, it's kind of like a fact of life. Things will never hold their form forever. And even the previous work, Built in Obsolescence, the term Built in Obsolescence is literally something being made like a phone. It's built with a flaw that you will have to get an upgrade at some other point. And that in itself was an initial meditation on the idea of even the slavery system, the way that people were forced to work until they couldn't work anymore and they could be replaced. That aspect of the work is very important to me, the fragility and the temporality. But I also felt like there was a, I don't know what the reason was to just, I just had a sense that I wanted to explore. It's connected to a kind of, like I'm trying to do the impossible by keeping the thing alive. I want it to stay, to keep going. So that's why I guess I started to explore the cement and then realize, well, that also doesn't last. So I don't see them as, I don't see them as two separate things per se, but sometimes you cannot get pulled into using different materials, and then the material cannot offers its own realities back to you.
Good afternoon. So I realized that you started with exploring who you are as a Jamaican, and then that process kind of changed to talk about like culture and society. So is it the fact that because you are a part of this culture, you decided to change from the process of who you are, or are you incorporating what is happening in society because you are a part of that society?
I think it's just a mixture of things. I still can find, even though I'm talking about other people, it's still, I feel like it's an extension of even just talking about myself. I think it's just an extension of my initial concerns about personal identity being broadened into a more social context.
This is a little bit more of a comment than a question, because I was listening to the conversation you're having with Tanisha back here, and I was thinking about, you know, we've had a lot of conversations about cultural ecologies, art ecologies, and I think that the role that impulse plays is an impulse, NLS, Kingston Creative. I think each one of those, and I'm not naming everyone, each one of these initiatives is extremely important. I don't think it is necessarily possible for each one to serve every purpose. Even working at the National Gallery, you know, we are often inundated with why don't you, why can't you, what are the opportunities that you can offer too? And I think each one of us has our particular roles to play. But I also think that what needs to happen more so is that other entities, potentially in St. Elizabeth, Clarendon, et cetera, or people who are interested need access to not just opportunities, but the ways in which they can access funding, because there should be other programs, in my opinion, as well, that can serve the different communities. So it's more just a statement that I think that access to funding, access to resources, that kind of resource specific, because I think that there are a lot of motivated, creative people on our island. It's just the fact that a lot of it not everybody has the necessary skill set to be able to mobilize their concepts and ideas with the adequate funding to get out with sustainable funding. So I think, and sustainability is one of the key things, because when I was talking earlier about the Western Jamaica Society of Fine Artists, that was mostly propelled by passion. I mean, it's really the people who were involved that were passionate about it. But then as they got older, you know, lives changed, demands changed, and so on. That's why it had that kind of up and down wave, because they were putting their own resources into it. And that's the hardest kind of initiative to sustain. So I think that I hope that we can get to the point where we can have workshops around fundraising for people who are interested in doing that.